1. We're going to continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark. We'll be looking at verses 40 through the end of the chapter today. In preparation, we're going to be talking today of a man who has leprosy, who comes to Jesus. And those of us who have grown up in a church environment, we think we know what leprosy is. Leprosy kind of scares us. But honestly, in our society today, somebody who is not churched may not know what leprosy is. I would dare say there's probably some of us in this room that would probably think that leprosy has gone the way of smallpox or other such diseases and are wiped away from the face of this earth. That's not true. It is still a prevalent disease in the world today. And I've printed off a little fact sheet with just some facts on what leprosy is. And what is it? What causes it? And it's a germ or a bacteria, and it causes an infection that affects the skin, destroys nerves, and can also cause problems in the eyes and the nose. One of the things that I always was afraid of, and what I was going to get up and actually preach today, I'm glad I got this, was that we've heard that people's fingers and toes fall off because of leprosy. So do fingers and toes fall off? And the answer is no. It says the bacteria attack nerve endings and destroys the body's ability to feel pain and injury. Without feeling pain, people injure themselves, and the injuries can become infected, resulting in tissue loss. Fingers and toes become shortened and deformed as the cartilage is absorbed into the body. Repeated injury and infection of numb areas in the fingers or toes can cause the bones to shorten, and the tissues around them shrink, making them look short. Well, what are some of the signs of leprosy? How do I know I'm not interacting with some of you and you have leprosy? Some of the signs. Early signs include spots on the skin that may be slightly red, darker than normal, or light, darker or lighter than the normal skin. The spots may also become numb and have lost hair. Often they appear in the arms, legs, and back. Sometimes the only sign may be numbness in a finger or a toe. If left untreated, hands can become numb, and small muscles are paralyzed, leading to the curling of the fingers and thumbs. So we can see how this can be a, deforming type of a disease. Well, how do you catch it? Leprosy is transmitted primarily through coughing and sneezing. In most cases, it is spread through long-term contact with a person who has the disease but has not been treated. Scientists don't fully... This is 2016. Scientists don't fully understand how leprosy is spread. Today, we have treatments. We have antibiotics. 2,000 years ago, in the time frame we're going to be looking at this morning, there was no treatment. So keep that in mind. Is there leprosy in the U.S.? Approximately 5,000 people in the U.S. are cured but suffer from the effects of leprosy and continue to receive care through outpatient clinics and private physicians. Approximately 150 people are diagnosed with leprosy each year in the United States. Kind of scary, isn't it? I mean, again, growing up in a church environment, this was something that we would know if we lived back in this time, we wouldn't want. And we'll kind of discuss that as we go on this morning. But let's go ahead and take a look at our passage this morning. Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 40. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him, and falling on his knees before him, and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleaned. Jesus sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. Now, as you notice, the Bible here says, a leper came to Jesus. Now we got to kind of understand just what this meant. What did it mean having leprosy back in Jesus' day? And not just Jesus' day, but all the way back throughout history in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 16 actually prescribes the way that somebody is diagnosed. And actually, if somebody were to fall and scrape themselves and have a scab, if people saw that, they got scared. And you had to go into a process of pre-diagnosis for leprosy, for a scab. And if you read through Leviticus, which I did this week, and it's Leviticus, but it's rather interesting. Because if something showed up on your skin, you were to go to the priest. And if it was questionable, the priest would put you kind of in a contamination zone. Quarantine. They would quarantine you for a week. 7 days, it says. And after 7 days, you would go back. The priest would re-examine you. And if it was getting better, but still not gone, you would be placed in quarantine for another 7 days. And this would continue until the priest was satisfied that it wasn't leprosy, but it was something else. Now, if it were determined that you did have leprosy, at that point, you were removed basically from society. If you were the only person in your area to have this disease, you were put out somewhere and you lived alone. Hopefully, your family would bring you food and clothing and things that you needed. But otherwise, you were essentially on your own. You couldn't work because you couldn't be by anybody. You couldn't have fellowship. I don't care if you were the most religious of Jews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, you could have no interaction. Maybe you lucked out and there were more lepers, and you could move into a leper colony. Still not great. Your family would be here and you would be here. If you were out walking around, if you had to go somewhere or do something, as you walked, you would have to yell out, "Unclean! Unclean!" as a warning to everyone else so that they would stay away. One of the most loneliest and heartbreaking. And it wasn't something that took your life quickly. This was something that you could live with for many, many years. And as we read earlier, as your digits in your hands and your toes, as the cartilage would be just kind of incorporated into the rest of your body, as you'd have a hard time grabbing things, eating, possibly even walking if your toes were such. And you were literally without hope. There was no cure. This was your state. And I read Psalm chapter 6 this morning, just to kind of put us into that kind of a mind frame, as being without hope or having as our only hope the Lord. Return, O Lord, verse 4 says, rescue my soul. Save me because of your loving kindness. That was the only hope of someone with leprosy, was that God would heal them. And though it was very uncommon through the annals of history, God had healed people, because there was a prescription then for the priest to deem one then who was unclean to be clean. That's where we find ourselves this morning. We have a leper. We don't have any clue as to how long he had this disease. We really don't have a clue as to how deformed he may be at this time. We know that he knows that his only hope is in this Jesus of Nazareth. So verse 40, a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him, and falling on his knees before him. So we see where a leper comes to Jesus. Now he's doing some things that are unorthodox. He's doing some things that in this culture would probably be considered illegal. Because he comes to Jesus, and as we see in verse 41, he comes close enough for Jesus to touch him. He comes before Jesus, and he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This is his only source. This is the only place he knows where he can go, the only person that he knows that he can go to, who has any kind of power whatsoever. Now remember, the stories are circulating. Jesus has, at his baptism, heavens opened up, and the Spirit of God descended on him. John the Baptist, this little kooky guy that was running around with this message of repentance and baptizing people to repentance, was calling people to look on Jesus. Jesus is calling a group of men to forsake everything that they have and follow him. He's cast out unclean spirits. He's healed a bedridden lady and has been healing and casting out demons from many of the people that have been brought to him. So his reputation is abounding. This little guy with leprosy, he realizes if there's anyone who can do anything for me, it's this Jesus. And he states it as fact, not as a question. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Well, why, if you are willing? Well, remember, Jesus is healing many. He is casting out demons from many. But the term there is many, not all. And as his only hope, he comes and falls on his knees. And in the best way that he can beg, says, please heal me. Jesus looks down at this individual. The Bible says he's moved with compassion. Other translations may be filled with compassion. The term there is better stated, overflowing with compassion. I mean, do we ever find ourselves in a position to where we are overflowing with emotion? I know there's been many times that we have been overflowed with grief. Hopefully there's been times in our life where we are overflowing with joy. Looking forward to this week. This week will be the birth of my 8th grandchild. A little girl will be brought into this world this week. And I know that my joy will overflow. As it does many times, just even when I'm around my grandkids. But overflowing, unkept, unable to keep in. Jesus, overflowing in compassion. Now, Jesus is going to do something, again, that's very unorthodox, very not kosher, if I can use that term in this society. Jesus is going to defy the written law, the laws that the scribes and Pharisees and the religious people have put in. For Jesus is going to reach out his hand, and he's going to touch this man with leprosy. This is probably the first time that this gentleman has been touched in many, many years. No handshakes. No pats on the back. No hugs. And Jesus, in his compassion, reaches out and touches this man. He says, I am willing. Be cleansed. Verse 42, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Notice again, this is a miracle of Jesus Christ. This is not a miracle of some guy on TV. This is not a miracle of some guy who's a charlatan trying to get over whatever message that he's trying to get across. This man, whose fingers and toes were probably somewhat like this, or were, many times were, who's covered in scabs, probably holes. The Bible says he was cleansed immediately. Fingers and toes restored. Scabs and holes in the body filled and replaced. He just went from a lifelong death sentence to being able to function again in society. He went from having to speak to his wife and kids from across the room to being able to go up and hold them and hug them and show them the love that he had for them. He was cleansed. Jesus had to talk to him at this point. Verse 43, he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Jesus tells them two things. He says, the Bible says Jesus warned him sternly. And I'm not sure in which way Jesus presented himself at this point. But Jesus, in essence, was just asking him, hey, do me a favor. Can you kind of just keep this to yourself right now? He said, everywhere I go, the crowds are coming to me. And this will probably just add to that. Just kind of keep it to yourself. But in order to get yourself into the right standing with the community, you need to go see the priest. Show yourself to the priest. Let them, according to the laws in Leviticus chapter 13, let them pronounce you clean. Now, do we understand what Jesus is asking this guy? Number one, here's a guy with this death sentence hanging over his head, living many years possibly in complete isolation and loneliness. Jesus wipes this from him, cleanses him, heals him, and says, don't tell anyone. Could we do that? A couple years ago, I was given an automobile. I couldn't keep my mouth shut. Things happen to us every day that are exciting in our life. Are we silent about it? Here's a guy that went from death to life. And Jesus says, don't tell anyone. Now, that's one part of it. Here's part two. Jesus says, well, at the same time you're not telling anyone, go to the chief priests. Have them look you over. Have them examine you. And pronounce you clean. Lepers, for the most part, were known to the community. Everybody knew who they were. They're kind of like we all grew up on a city block. And every city block has that house with that man that lives there. My guy used to peer out of a corner window, looking down the street at the kids. Don't get close to his house. Don't get near his grass. And if something happens, they want to know. So here's the priests. They're looking. They're looking at this man. They know who he is. They know what state he was just in. Many of them probably tossed him a nickel on their way into the synagogue that day. And here he comes, standing completely clean. Now the priest's job is to look at him, examine him, and then pronounce him clean, correct? But what's going to be the first question off of this high priest's lips? what happened? How did you go from this to this? Jesus said, be silent. Don't tell anyone. Well, verse 45. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer enter a city, publicly enter a city. You're healed. Please don't say anything. The guy's shaking. Guy doesn't know how to control himself. And he's probably hearing what Jesus is saying, but not really listening to what he's saying. Or listening and not hearing, however it goes. But the picture you get here is the moment he leaves Jesus' side, every person he meets, I've been healed. My leprosy is gone. It's no longer. Jesus healed me. Now, there's some argument over why Jesus would ask him not to say this. Most people that I studied think it was just because as the crowds were getting so big, Jesus knew that this would make it even more complicated. I mean, even to the fact that even here Mark says Jesus could no longer walk around in public without people just crowding in on him. And we need to realize that sometimes maybe the Lord may be directing us not to say something because maybe sometimes it's detrimental to the gospel message. And these are just little things that bug me. But you know, as I'm perusing around Facebook and someone puts on a picture, a meme, we call them now, I think, a meme with money, $100 bills, and a picture of Jesus in the corner. Like and share, and tomorrow you'll receive a bunch of money. I cringe. I cringe sometimes with the people that put these, because I look at them and I'm like, they know better. They know better. And my admonition is for my Facebook counterparts. Be careful what we put. Make sure things that we place on there, especially if they're in a biblical context, are true and wholesome and right. Because sometimes the feel-goody stuff can do more harm than good. We tend as Christians to be sometimes overly judgmental. Guilty. And we'll write something on there that can be overly judgmental. Remember, people see us for who we are. Number one, if we're going to put something on there, let's make sure we're living it. Because there's nothing worse to proclaim something. Jesus brings joy into my life. Anonymous. And then you are the most sourpussy people in the entire world. So you put that Jesus brings you joy, but you live like you have none. That's a contradiction. So let's be careful of what we proclaim sometimes. This man went out proclaiming what Jesus did for him. Jesus could no longer enter a city, but he stayed out in the unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. Now, I don't know why Jesus didn't want... My thinking is, if I were Jesus, and thank God I'm not. We talked about that in Sunday school today. If I was here to be the Savior of the world, I'd want everybody coming out to me. I can't rationalize this. But Jesus could. And he knew, but what he was becoming was a circus. People were not coming to him for the message of repentance. They were coming to him again for his tricks. To where the tricks were getting in the way of the message. We need to be careful about that also. As I close tonight, or today, let me kind of I don't normally like to spiritualize things, but let's spiritualize this a little bit this morning. Do you realize that each and every one of us in this room, each and every one of us outside these four walls, everyone who was ever born or ever will be born, is born with spiritual leprosy. Do you understand that? We are born with a death sentence. The problem is we really don't realize it because we are around other people with leprosy all the time. We're not lonely. But our spiritual makeup just does not work. Our spiritual fingers are all folded up and they don't move. We have trouble walking spiritually because our toes are bent and our feet don't work. We have bruises and holes and spiritual scabs because we're born spiritual lepers. There is only one cure. Doctors cannot find it. Doctors, most spiritual doctors aren't even looking for a cure. They're looking for a way for you to make your life better with what you got. But the great physician has given a cure. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Spiritual leprosy is eating away at everyone who has ever been born. But Jesus can heal. Jesus, who wants to be moved with compassion, and if we've had that spiritual healing, unfortunately, most of us are thinking that Jesus is telling us, okay, I've saved you. Your spiritual leprosy is gone. Don't tell no one. And for the most part, we're happy with that. Do we realize what he has done for us? Do we realize where we've been brought to from where we were? And I don't think many of us do. This man who had been healed. He went out telling everyone, Jesus Christ healed me. And he didn't really, wasn't thinking, at least I don't see any proof. He was thinking of anything else. I'm healed. I mean, we don't see him running back. Well, Jesus, thanks for healing me. Can you give me a new house now? Because the one that I had isn't big enough, because now I got to move back in. Can you get me a new chariot? Because the one I had, I haven't been able to work on for a while, because, you know, I haven't been able to be around the house. He was happy for what Christ did for him. For the salvation of his healing. Do we realize what spiritual healing means to us? Do we realize what it means for our eternity? No longer are we destined to an eternity in hell. Separated. Have people today.
My life is just a living hell.
No, it's not. Because at least even the unsaved in this time frame have a God that's in control of everything. And I don't know how a God who can be everywhere will be gone from hell. I don't understand that, but that's what the Bible says, separated eternally in hell. That's what God gives to us. And I complain when I don't have $10 to be able to drive through a fast food place. Shame on me. Dare say probably shame on most of us. Let's look what God has truly given us. Because everything else that we enjoy in this life is a bonus. Where are we this morning? What state are you in? Are you still a spiritual leper? Or have you reached out? Have you come to a point in your life where you have fallen on your knees before the Savior and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can cleanse me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. And Father, I apologize in my life for all that I take you for granted for. Father, you have given me eternal life with you. Someday I will stand before you. You will look into my eyes, and I will know all things. I will know why this happened. I will know why that didn't happen. But at that point, I won't care. Because I will be with you. Father, may we live for you today with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. May we trust you with every ounce of our being. May we give our disease over to you so you may heal us. For it's in Christ's name we pray.